They say good pussy will fuck your head up, but no one tells you what happens after. After the moans fade, after the promises vanish, after the woman you thought was a blessing turns out to be the perfect con artist. My name's Tony. I was just a contractor. She hired me to build her a deck. Never paid a dollar. Just laid me down and took everything, my time, my focus, my pride. Kim with the good pussy. She played me like a violin. But I learned. I studied her game. And I played it back, twice as dirty, twice as cold. Now she's gone broke and broken, and I'm still standing. This is my story of seduction, social manipulation, and revenge by design. You're listening to Manipulation, Kim with the good pussy. Trust me, you won't forget this one. So if you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favorite platform now, because the next story might just change the way you see everything. Don't miss a single twisted turn. They say every man has a weakness. I didn't think mine would come wrapped in silk and smiling on the front porch of a two-story ranch in Queens. Her name was Kim. Kim with the curves that moved like a whispered promise. Kim with the kind of presence that made you forget your name halfway through your handshake. She opened the door barefoot, one manicured toe tapping lightly against the wooden frame, wearing a white robe that should have come with a warning label. The breeze caught it just enough to flash thigh, cleavage, and temptation all in one motion. "Hey, you must be Tony," she purred, eyes scanning me like I was something to eat. I nodded. "Yeah, deck repair. You said the wood was rotting." She laughed, a slow, seductive sound that made my mind stutter. Rotting, neglected, falling apart. You could say that about a few things around here. I should have walked away right then. But I didn't. I was a contractor, not a philosopher. I built things with my hands, not with second guesses. I had a job to do. Blueprints in the truck. Estimate written up. I'd done this 100 times. But none of those times started like this. She led me out back, hips swaying, robe floating behind her like a ghost of intention. The deck was shot, boards loose, nails rusted, structure sinking in spots. A real job. Would have cost her close to 10 grand if she wanted it done right. But Kim wasn't interested in right. She was interested in control. "So, what's a ballpark?" she asked, leaning on the railing like a scene from a movie. The wind pushed her robe just open enough. She didn't fix it. I told her the number. $9,800, give or take. "Hmm," she hummed. "That's a lot." She said it slowly, like every syllable had an undertone, like she was trying it on for size. Her eyes met mine. "You work alone?" "Most of the time." She took a step closer. "Then maybe we can figure out a different kind of payment plan." I felt my pulse jump, mind racing, ethics screaming. But the way she looked at me, like I was already hers, it was a game. I just didn't know the rules yet. The first few days were normal, mostly. I showed up early, worked late, sweat dripping down my neck while Kim watched from the kitchen window in yoga shorts and no bra. I told myself it didn't mean anything, that I could handle her. But handling Kim was like trying to hold water in your fist. She'd bring me lemonade one day, iced tea the next, then wine on a Friday. The third day in, she leaned over with a pitcher and let her robe fall completely open. Didn't say a word. Just smiled and walked away. By week two, I hadn't seen a dime. She hadn't signed a contract either. Said she trusted my work. I knew better. But I kept showing up. Because by then, I was under her spell. Late one afternoon, she came outside wearing nothing but an oversized t-shirt and a whisper. Said she had something for me. Led me inside. Turned off the lights. Closed the curtains. And just like that, she paid me. Not in cash. Not in checks. But in moans, in gasps, in every weapon a woman like Kim knows how to use. She was soft and wild at the same time. The kind of sex that makes you forget the days of the week. That tricks you into thinking pleasure is a form of currency. When it was over, I lay there dazed. Heart still racing. Body spent. She leaned over me, kissed my chest, and said, "Deck's coming along nice, baby." I left her house that night with nothing but empty pockets and a hard-on for destruction. She had me, wrapped around her fingers. And she knew it. But she didn't know me. Not yet. You ever had sex so good it made you question your own worth? Like maybe you were just a tool, a vessel, a dumb puppet with a dick, and she was the puppeteer pulling strings with her hips and those breathy little sighs? That was Kim. Kim with the good pussy didn't just make love, she engineered it. Like it was audio manipulation on a soul level. Her voice, her breath, her body, all orchestrated to override your logic. I thought I was in control. A man, a worker, a provider. But Kim had a blueprint. And every nail I drove into that deck, she was driving one into me. She stopped texting for 3 days after we first hooked up. No messages. No calls. No answer when I showed up for work. The deck sat half-built, like it was waiting on permission to finish. So was I. Then she called. Late at night. Whisper quiet. Hey, I miss you. Can you come over? And like a goddamn fool, I did. She met me at the door wearing that same white robe. Only this time, there was nothing underneath. Not even pretense. She didn't say a word. Just pulled me in and closed the door behind me. That night was different. Not just physical, strategic. She let me lead it first, gave me space to believe I had control. Then midway through, she flipped me, literally and mentally. She rode me like a queen riding into battle. Commanding. Deliberate. Dominant. Every sound that left her mouth. Engineered. Every touch. Calibrated. By the end, I was breathless. Numb. Dizzy. She lay beside me, head on my chest like we were lovers, not client and contractor. Not predator and prey. You're special, Tony, she whispered. You're not like the other guys. That's when I felt it, the shift. The way she stroked my ego just right. The subtle social manipulation. The mind-racing confusion that blurred the line between flattery and programming. I wanted more. Of her. Of the feeling. Of the illusion that maybe this was more than a game. The next morning, I showed up on site again, ready to work. But this time, the gate was locked. No sign of Kim. Just a text. Hey babe, something came up. Don't stress. We're good face-blowing a kiss. I waited around for an hour. Then left. 2 days later, same thing. Gate locked. Text delayed. Then another night call. Missed you. Come over. I made that dish you liked. I wasn't even sure what dish she meant. But I came anyway. And she fed me. Then fucked me. Then ghosted me again. This became the cycle. Ghost. Seduce. Repeat. No invoices signed. No payments made. The deck was an afterthought now. I was the real project. My body. My trust. My psychology. And she was the architect. Every time I got close to confronting her, she'd shift the energy. Distract me with her scent. Bite my lip just enough. Say something soft about how she never felt this connected before. Kim didn't need weapons. She had body intelligence. She had behavioral psychology down to an art form. She was a con artist in lingerie with a masterclass in persuasion techniques, and I was her free tuition. One night, in the half light of her bedroom, she moaned in my ear. Men are so simple. You give them a little affection, and they'll burn their own house down. I laughed, thought she was joking. But later, lying there in the silence, I realized something chilling. She wasn't joking. She was studying me, taking mental notes, fine-tuning her control. Market dynamics of a man's desire applied in real time. That's when it hit me. I wasn't in a relationship. I was in an experiment. Still, I kept showing up. Because when you're addicted to manipulation that feels like love, you stop asking questions. You just obey. I don't know the exact moment I lost control, but I remember the moment I realized it. It was a Thursday. Rain tapping on the deck boards I never finished. I was sitting in my truck outside Kim's house, engine running, hands gripping the wheel like they could keep me grounded. I hadn't worked in 4 days. Not for her, not for anyone. All I could think about was Kim. Kim with the good pussy. Kim with the hypnotic voice. Kim with the disappearing act that kept me in a state of cognitive dissonance, pleasure and rejection dancing in my chest like fire and ice. She opened the door that day like nothing was wrong. Oh, hey, stranger, she smiled. I was just thinking about you. Thinking about me? After vanishing again? No calls. No texts. No money. No updates. My brain wanted to curse her out. My pride wanted to walk away. But my body, my dumb, addicted, testosterone-soaked body, it followed her inside. She cooked, like nothing had happened. Salmon with garlic rice. Her robe tied tight but low on her hips. That red lipstick, the one that made it hard to focus. The one I used to watch smear on the pillowcase after she'd moaned my name into it. And then she did it again. She leaned across the table. Smiled. Touched my hand. You know I'd never play you, right? She tilted her head like she believed it. But I knew better. This wasn't affection. This was psychological manipulation. This was her checking my pulse, seeing if I still bled for her. I should have gotten up. Instead, I kissed her. The sex was violent in the way addicts crave. Fast, desperate, raw, like we were punishing each other with pleasure. After, I lay there staring at the ceiling fan, heart thumping like a warning siren. "Deck's looking good," she whispered. "That goddamn deck. Still no payment. Still no progress. Just this loop, this sick little carousel of seduction, withdrawal, and manipulation." I wasn't her contractor anymore. I was her plaything, her dopamine puppet, her proof that sexual influence was the most powerful currency in the world. The next day, I tried to get smart. I told her I needed a down payment to finish the job. Told her I was behind on rent. Told her I couldn't work for free anymore. She giggled. Giggled. "Baby, you know I got you. Just remind me tomorrow, okay?" Tomorrow came. And so did I. But no money. Just another orgasm, and more sweet nothing. It was market psychology at its finest. Kim was the dealer. I was the junkie. And the high. That curve of her hip, the soft whisper of her saying, "You're mine." The truth was she had me. Not just physically. Neurologically. Every ghosting made me crave her more. Every return felt like rescue. And in between, I was unraveling fast. I stopped taking jobs. Missed calls from real clients. Burned invoices. Just to keep showing up at her house like a dog chasing a scent he couldn't name. I had become a shadow of myself. And she knew it. She saw it. She fed off it. I remember lying in her bed one night, her nails tracing my chest. "You ever think maybe I was sent to you for a reason?" she whispered. Like she was God's little seductress. Like this wasn't a scam, it was fate. I smiled. But deep down, something shifted. A whisper inside me started screaming. "You're not in love. You're being erased." That night, I went home, turned off my phone, and sat in the dark thinking about my old life, before Kim. Before her voice crawled inside me. Before she turned sex into a weapon and my pride into her puppet. I wanted out. But first, I wanted revenge. It started with an empty bank account. Not hers. Mine. That was the first external sign of how deep Kim had sunk her claws. I'd gone from doing 3 deck jobs a month to 1 in 6 weeks. The math didn't lie. I was broke, distracted, and off my game. All for a woman who hadn't paid me a single dollar. Not for labor. Not for materials. Not even for gas. And yet I kept going back to her house like a moth licking the flame that burned its wings. That's the thing with dark forces. You don't recognize them until they've already rewritten your behavior. The final straw came on a rainy Wednesday. I was parked outside her house again. Watching. Waiting. She hadn't texted in 4 days. "No, I miss you." No surprise moans at midnight. Just silence. And that silence. That silence had me unraveling. I walked to her front door. Knocked. No answer. So I knocked again. Still nothing. Then I noticed something through the window. Not her robe. Not her bare feet walking across marble tile. Him. A tall man. Well-dressed. Clean-cut. Laughing as he poured wine into 2 glasses. Her voice floated through the open window, bubbly, soft, seductive. The same voice she used on me. She didn't just replace me. She didn't even hesitate. I walked back to my truck, drenched, stomach twisting like a vice. I sat there for almost an hour, mind blank, heart shattered. That was it. The final lesson. I wasn't her lover. I wasn't her contractor. I wasn't even a person to her. I was a utility. Like a hammer. A drill. A fucking step stool she climbed to reach a better man. And now that she had, she didn't even bother to return me to the shelf. I spiraled for days. Didn't answer texts. Ignored calls. Laid in bed staring at the ceiling, replaying everything. Her touch. Her words. Her lies. That smirk she gave me after sex, like she was watching a chess piece fall exactly where she planned it. That's when the shame hit. Not because she played me, but because I let her. Because I thought I was too smart. Too seasoned. Too masculine to be emotionally manipulated by a woman in a robe with a fat ass and a wine glass. But Kim didn't need muscle. She used influence psychology. NLP techniques. She turned my own desire into a leash, and I wore it proudly. Until now. I needed an out. A way to balance the scales. That's when I called Mike. Mike was everything I wasn't. Slick. Suited. Ruthless. My best friend since high school. And the only man I knew who could take down a manipulative woman without blinking. He listened as I spilled the whole story. The unpaid job, the seduction, the ghosting, the financial collapse, the emotional wipeout. When I was done, he didn't laugh. Didn't judge. He He just leaned forward and said, "You want to get her back? You want her humbled? Let me show you how Wall Street handles a bitch like that." I didn't ask for details. Didn't want to know. All I said was, "Make her feel what she made me feel." He nodded. Done. And just like that, Kim's game was about to get upgraded. Only this time, the deck she was standing on was about to collapse underneath her. They say revenge is best served cold. But this wasn't cold. This was surgical. Calculated like a stock market takedown. Clean as a wire transfer. Designed with cognitive techniques and Wall Street cruelty. Mike didn't just know how to destroy a person. He made it art. "Tell me everything," he said that night. We were in his penthouse overlooking the city. Whiskey in our glasses. Rain streaking the windows like the world was trying to eavesdrop. I laid it all out. The deck. The seduction. The unpaid labor. The endless ghosting and sexual manipulation. The emotional crash. The humiliation. He didn't flinch. Just smirked. "She used body intelligence to control you," he said. "Now we'll use market intelligence to take her apart." That was the moment I gave him full clearance. No boundaries. No guilt. No conscience. Just vengeance in a tailored suit. Mike found her online within an hour. Kim used a different name on social. Kimberlux. Instagram full of filtered selfies, brunch shots, thirst traps, and captions like, "Energy only. If you ain't vibrating high, don't ring my line nail polish medium light skin tone." Classic manipulator energy. Performative. Polished. No accountability. But Mike saw right through her. "She's not looking for love," he said. "She's looking for access. To money. To status. To control." He created a fake identity that very night. A crypto investment mogul. Discreet. Handsome. Traveled often. Owned properties in Dubai, Miami, and Bali. The account looked real enough to fool a financial regulator. But it was all fiction, crafted to seduce a woman who'd turned seduction into a career. He messaged her the next day. "Saw your page. You look like someone who understands power. Let's connect." She bit immediately. By the end of the week, they were texting late night. Voice notes. FaceTimes. Digital foreplay dressed up as business vibes. She called him daddy before they ever met in person. That was her tell. Kim wasn't just lonely. She was hungry. For validation. For luxury. For leverage. Mike gave her all three. He took her to dinner the following Saturday. The kind of place where the wine list has no prices. Where men in suits whisper about market psychology while swirling $800 Cabernet. She showed up in heels and a hunger you could smell. Mike played the perfect game. Told her she was special. Intelligent. Different. Listened intently as she spewed influencer lingo she barely understood. He nodded. Smiled. Fed her compliments like caviar. Then asked, "Do you invest? I think you're the kind of woman who should." Her eyes lit up. That was it. The switch. The moment when social engineering met financial manipulation. Kim didn't want a relationship. She wanted access. And Mike was about to give it to her, in exchange for everything. Over the next 2 weeks, he laid the groundwork. He talked crypto portfolios, private equity, offshore holdings. Mentioned his friend Tony, a builder with heart, got hurt by a manipulative woman. She didn't connect the dots. Of course she didn't. She was too busy falling for dollar signs and a fantasy. Mike gifted her a Cartier bracelet, flew her to a weekend crypto summit in the Hamptons, told her she was his future. She gave herself to him completely, body, voice, mind. And then she gave him her trust. That's when the wipeout plan began. Mike got her to sign joint documents, shell companies, legalese, titles she didn't understand. He said it was to protect their future assets. She nodded, high off champagne and orgasm-induced dopamine. She signed everything. Within 3 weeks, her house had been transferred to a shell corp. Her savings rerouted to a dummy investment platform, run by an AI front. Even her leased car was returned with one forged signature. By the time she realized what happened, it was too late. The deck she stood on? Gone. Literally and metaphorically. I was sitting on my own couch when Mike called me. "It's done," he said, cold as marble. She woke up this morning, and everything was gone. Money. House. Status. She's texting me like she's panicking in a burning room. He paused. Then added. She said she feels violated. Like someone used her. The irony hit so hard I almost laughed. The revenge equation was complete. Kim had used sex as a weapon. I used finance. She seduced and discarded. we seduced and destroyed. And somewhere in the smoke of it all, I started to feel like me again. But this wasn't the end. Not yet. Because women like Kim, they don't disappear. They transform. And the next time I'd hear from her, she wouldn't be whispering sweet nothings. She'd be screaming. I thought that would be it. Wipe her clean. Close the book. Let the echo of her fall be the final chapter. But Kim doesn't end that easily. No, she reemerges like a virus, quieter, smarter, and more dangerous. And when she came back, she wasn't seductive. She was angry. It started with a DM, a burner account, no profile photo, no name. You think you're slick, huh? Watch yourself. I almost laughed. Almost. Because threats from a woman like Kim don't come with bullets, they come with rumors. Social manipulation. She doesn't stab you in the chest. She whispers in the ears of people who can destroy you. Sure enough, by the end of the week, three of my old clients had mysteriously moved on. One even told me flat out, "Heard you scam women. Can't take that risk." Kim had started a whisper campaign. She was rebuilding power the only way she knew how, through illusion. That's when Mike said, "She thinks she's still in the game. Let's teach her what real players do." Mike crafted Phase 2 like a con man with a PhD in cognitive behavior. A complete reinvention. He ghosted her for 3 weeks, total silence. Let her stew. Let her paranoia grow teeth. Then, just when her desperation reached its peak, he messaged her again. "Sorry. Everything hit me at once. I needed space. I've been thinking about you a lot." Classic manipulative personalities move, withdrawal and return. Psychological warfare 101. Kim, of course, jumped back in like she hadn't been emotionally skinned. "I've missed you so much. I thought you forgot about me." She was soft again. Submissive. Vulnerable. A chameleon in distress. They met at a cafe in Soho. Public. Open. Safe. She wore black this time, classy. Modest. No cleavage. Hair tied back. That was Kim's way of saying, "See? I'm real now. I've changed." Mike listened to her sob story. The hack. The lost files. The freak financial accident. Said she wasn't mad. Just confused. Said she wanted clarity. Said she wanted to heal. What she really wanted was her status back. Because that's what Kim craves most. Not love. Not connection. Position. Mike fed her the line. "I want to help you get back on your feet. But this time, let's do it right together." He dangled a new deal. A real one. A short-term luxury rental. A second shell account to temporarily store funds while her credit recovered. He told her she needed to show commitment first. Wire just enough money to prove she could follow through. She sent the wire that night. And just like that, the second takedown began. This was the difference between us and her. Kim played short games. Fast sex. Quick lies. We played market dynamics. Long cons, psychological patience. We weren't just reacting anymore. We were engineering stories. And she was our latest subject. Days passed. Weeks. Then Kim began unraveling. She called Mike in tears. The rental fell through. The account froze. The contact number disconnected. He let her spiral. Let her beg. Then finally, he answered. "You played the wrong man, Kim. And you forgot, men have friends." She went quiet after that. Deleted all her social media. Vanished from her block. Left the rental behind, half-packed. Half-wrecked. The whispers she started about me? Gone. Replaced with new whispers. About her. "Did you hear about Kimber Lux?" Lost her place. Ran up on the wrong guy. Got wiped clean. Influencer turned invisible. The ultimate punishment for someone addicted to attention. Mike texted me a photo a week later. Kim. Sitting alone in a corner of a rundown cafe in Brooklyn. Hoodie up. No makeup. Eyes sunken. Caption said, "She's in her rebrand era. Good luck to the next sucker." And me. I was finally breathing again. Finally building again. Me. Dex. Real clients. Real money. Real respect. Kim taught me what real manipulation looks like. But she also taught me how to weaponize self-awareness. How to read body language. How to spot the psychological principles in every flirt, every smile, every false promise. She sharpened me. And now I was using that sharpness to never get cut again. You ever watch a storm build? Not the kind on the Weather Channel. I mean the kind that brews in silence. No thunder. No lightning. Just tension in the air. Static on your skin. And then boom, everything's gone. That was Kim's life. And I was the storm. After the second setup, Kim had nothing left. Her accounts? Closed. Her credit? Trashed. Her rental? Revoked. Her digital clout? Buried under new names, new scandals, and carefully curated whispers. She tried to claw back. Messaged Mike again. I just want the truth. Why me? Mike didn't answer. But I did. From a fake number. Because you picked the wrong man to fuck with. No reply. No apology. Just a typing bubble that never delivered. That's when I knew it sank in. She wasn't just wiped out financially. She was wiped out psychologically. I'd gone from being her prey to her ghost. A shadowed secret in her head. A walking reminder that some games you don't win. Because Kim played with human emotions like poker chips. She thought sex was leverage. But we turned her own strategy against her. Twice as calculated, twice as cold. She underestimated what true body intelligence looks like in men. She forgot that some of us evolve under pressure. That we learn. That we watch. That we strike back. Her social media reboot didn't last. She tried coming back under a new brand, Healing with Lux. A fake wellness coach with borrowed quotes and softly lit selfies. But the algorithm didn't forget. Neither did the whispers. She went viral for all the wrong reasons. Reddit threads popped up. She scammed three guys. She dated a fake crypto investor. She used her body to skip bills and karma collected interest. Screenshots, voice notes, Cash App receipts. All resurfaced. And Kim? She went quiet again. Just like that, she was erased. I didn't celebrate. Didn't pop bottles. Didn't toast to her fall. Because deep down, I knew something she didn't. Revenge is never clean. It doesn't fix what broke in you. It doesn't unburn the time you gave to someone who saw you as a resource instead of a person. But it does one thing. It makes sure they remember. Every time she walks past a half-built deck, every time she tries to seduce someone with a half smile, every time she thinks she's winning, she'll remember me. The contractor she thought she conned, the man she never saw coming, the ghost in her story that burned the blueprint she tried to trap him in. So what did I gain? Peace. Not the kind you post about, the kind that sits in your gut and says, you survived her. They say some lessons cost you money, others cost you time, but the most dangerous ones, they cost you yourself. Piece by piece, night by night, until you're standing in the mirror asking, how the hell did I let her do that to me? That was Kim. Kim with the good pussy. Kim who rewired my emotions, reprogrammed my judgment, and spun me like a record I didn't know I was stuck on. This is the part of the story nobody likes to talk about, the aftermath. Not the sex, not the schemes, but the silence. After she vanished, for real this time, I waited for the guilt to show up. It didn't. I thought maybe I'd feel empty. I didn't. I felt clear. Like someone had pulled a sheet off my eyes and let me see the whole fucked up game board for what it was. Influence tactics. Body intelligence. Emotional economics. Market psychology of love. Kim had weaponized every inch of herself. And I let her. But here's the twist. In trying to destroy me, she built something she never intended. A man immune to women like her. I started working again. Full throttle. Clients. Crews. Real money. Real contracts. I finished the damn deck. Not hers. Mine. My own home. My own structure. My own foundation. I even sanded it slow. Deliberate. Therapeutic. Because that deck was a symbol. Not of what she owed me, but of what I got back. Me. People asked about her sometimes. What happened to that fine-ass chick in Queens? Didn't you two have a thing? I just smiled and said, she taught me everything I needed to know. Because she did. She was a living course in psychological manipulation, social engineering, the subtle art of seduction and control, the ethics of revenge and the cost of ignoring your gut. She made me a student of human behavior, a master of boundaries, a man who finally understood the difference between being desired and being used. And if you're listening to this, if you've ever been where I was, head spinning, heart open, wallet empty. Mind racing. Understand something. Kim was never the prize. The lesson was. So yeah, she had good pussy. Legendary even. But what she didn't have, what she never had, was a good ending. Because you can seduce with lies. You can steal time, energy, and even dignity. But you can't fake soul. And when the seduction fades, when the makeup wipes off, when the ghosting gets ghosted, all that's left is who you really are. And her? She's alone with mirrors that won't lie back. I'm Tony. I build decks. I rebuild lives. And now, I build boundaries stronger than wood.